the sole of his feet. Everything that is out of order, trying to attack his system and his body, I come against it in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus now. Iprabasa, healing down through all through the digestive, all through this area, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Any tightening, any type of discomfort and pain, we command to leave at its source. And refreshing come to every cell, every tissue, every fiber of his being in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take three deep breaths in. Another one. And another one. It's got to go. Is it letting up? A little bit. It's going to go all the way. It's going to go all the way. Say all the way. All the way.
Healing in your glory. Healing in your glory.
Will we stand and worship just for a moment?
Healing in your glory. There's healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. So, Lord, send your glory.
That the Lord knows how to do things that seem impossible. And the process that the Lord has begun, completeness. Your perfect will and way, not just a little bit done, but according to your word that you have spoken, so shall it be. All these hindrances that have been to it, we command it to go, to shrink up, disintegrate in the name of Jesus. Leave behind that which is healthy. I speak a transfer of anointing that rests in my life because, God, my Father, you brought me forth a miracle, the first of six. And, Lord, I speak now a healing in this womb. For the desire of her heart. For the desire of her heart. Somebody give God praise. We serve a mighty good God. Say, I take authority over my body in the name of Jesus. Everything that's not of the Lord's original design, I banish it. Tell it to go by the blood of Jesus. And I receive only that which is the function and the fresh healing and restoration of the plan of God throughout my body. Divine healing and divine health are mine. All toxins have to go. Viruses, bacteria, hidden places where the enemy has tried to hide has got to go in the name of Jesus. We expose it. Every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of sickness and disease, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. Healing to take place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give God praise. Hallelujah. We receive it now. Say, the Holy Spirit is at work in my body, administering it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may remain standing for the reading of the word. We're going to read one particular first one in Matthew and then in John 14 and 23. And then the rest of the scriptures, it'll be according to how you're expressing in the spirit. Go ahead and put the first verse up, and then we'll give the title in a moment. In Matthew 6 through 8, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking himself to those that were following, not just his disciples, but to those that were listening to his teaching. And he said, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father, which is in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Could you put that in the King James just for a moment? Because I want you to correlate these to that. It says, but you, when you, always you and thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, which is where? In secret. Not outside secret. In secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret. This is a different type of seeing because he sees everything, but this is a different seeing. What he sees in the spirit is where he will reward you openly. Verse 7. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions or much babbling, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Let's go to John 14 and 23. Jesus replied to one of his disciples and said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that it resound in the very room of our heart, and that it sound over and over and ring upon today. That what message you are speaking to your people. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The title of my message today is Where Eternity Causes Heaven and Earth to Kiss. There are too many people in this life, in this realm that we know of, and especially in our surrounding areas, that do not know anything about the supernatural place of God. They are just living life, and actually, can I say this, that life is living them. The cares of this life have banished them to only that which is relative to their emotions and some intellectual capacity. It is bound up in their experiences and the filters of what they've been through, and so they have opinions that form their attitudes and their attitudes that form their next decisions, not knowing that without a risen Savior in their life and without the Lord setting them free from the chains of sin, that they will act out a plot that, although seemingly sold as good, is not good enough. because they will fall short not knowing their own Creator. Matter of fact, we live in a society right now, saints, that is so far away from the Creator that they're trying to change all of the original design, all of the maps, trying to erase God out of our culture completely. And in trying to do so, we are now losing many folks and many young people to the propaganda, even in educational systems, that there is no God and that there is no male nor female, that there is only the choice by which that they can make, and that parents cannot help to make the choice for the children, that children left to a candy store will eat themselves to death. Not everything that looks good is good. And not everything that looks good is God. I'm here to resound as a preacher today over the airwaves and all across the websites and everything that we do to herald the fact that we need the eternity of God to cause a disruption and to cause something to take place that heaven needs to come to earth and kiss. Because you see, the earthy is not getting up to heaven. It is not going to be us that rises till he comes. It will be heaven that comes this direction. There is a relationship with God through Christ Jesus that causes a link up of eternity. The Lord is stating here that when you pray, because he didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray, because prayer is just like breathing to us in our physical body, so is prayer and communicating with God because we're in a relationship. Prayer is not some religious thing you do and repeat after me's and things. We have declarations that puts us on the same page, gives us some subjects. But prayer is that communication between you and God that reverences him but is very real heart to heart. Prayer is not only the communication for our list for Christmas or for our emergency call 911 to heaven. Prayer is our relationship communication to the Lord. This is why, up until this society age that we're in technology, if you were praying on the street, they would think that you had gone absolutely crazy and needed some drugs. But now there's so many people talking, and they're talking out loud, and you're wondering what in the world's going on. Are they talking to me, talking to themselves? But you got to look for the little earpiece. Because there is a voice that they're connected to. And we are a people that are connected to the voice of God. The Lord said that when you go in to pray, go into a place of solitude, get rid of all of the other distractions, and cause your focus to be upon the Lord. And then he said, when you pray, go into secret. Not only just a place of solitude and a place of getaway, but go into the secret place. It is the secret place that we want to be in, because if somebody comes through the door, they'll know, or they can say, they're in the closet, they're in there praying, I can hear them pray, but they don't know who you're praying to. They don't know what's going on. Well, they're praying to that Jesus guy again, and they're maybe praying to God the Father. Have you ever seen him? Nope, never seen him. They're in there praying to somebody that's invisible that they don't see. See, the invisible is what is in secret. Because those things which you do see right now are temporary. Matter of fact, there's going to be a time we have to get new chairs, have to get new carpet, have to get new cameras, have to get new eyeglasses, have to get this new, have to get a new do, because it's all temporary. I got a haircut, didn't have time to dye it, but pretty soon, that's a different type of diet. I'm going to go dye it to change what is changing in my life back to what looks a little younger. Because you try to change the change, but everything's temporal. But that which is in the spirit is eternal. And so I find this to be true. I find that when you go before God, you have to pray through. The old timers would talk about praying through, and I thought it was just about being an altar and just getting rid of your sins and just repenting. But praying through, I found that I got to pray through the resistance of my own mind. I got to pray through the very thoughts and patterns. Because as soon as I start to pray, the list of what I still need to do comes up. The cares of this life tries to come in and interrupt my phone call to heaven. And I have to take control of the prayer and my mind and say, I will submit to that which I want to be alone with God. So I'm taking the list and I'm putting you on hold. Talk to the hand. You're on hold. Because I prioritize the Lord, the lover of my soul, higher than anything else. Matter of fact, this week while I was in prayer on the floor in my living room, my wife came in from doing some chores and things, and she came in and she was not going to interrupt me, and she was in the kitchen, and some other thing came up, and I said, Lord, would you please allow me a few moments to take care of something, and I'll be right back. But if not, I'll stay right here. Because when you're with the Lord, you don't know one distraction, one hindrance that causes your mind to go somewhere else. He said, well, if you're done. How many have ever been in a conversation and you found out it wasn't two-way anymore, it was all one-way, and you were kind of, okay, lunch is over, coffee's over. If we're done talking one-on-one, then we're done. The Lord wants receiving. Too many times people think prayer of one-sided. But the Lord is wanting prayer that we listen. He wants a communion with his people. Not just a quick, thank you, Lord, this is what you did, and this is what I need. That's what children usually do to their parents when they're needing allowance or they're needing something else to go or something happens, and it's only need-oriented. But when it is desire-oriented, which I believe I'm speaking to a people who have a holy desire for God. When it is desire-oriented, it'll be easy to stop other things and stop time and say, just wait a minute. I need to get into my secret place with the Lord. I need to go alone and be alone till I'm alone no longer, till the presence of God steps in, till the room begins to fill full of him, that if anybody coming down the hall can feel the presence of God, oh! It's a private time. It's a secret place. And he said, there are many people that do all the talking. They think they'll be heard by their many words. But the Lord is wanting a two-way conversation. He wants to be able to give to you because there are things in secret that he wants to reveal to you. Matter of fact, he has already put a stamp. The Lord, our Savior, already put a stamp. If you do this in secret, there is a reward to it. That when nobody else knows who you are and nobody cares who you are, when they can see 6'5" coming and walking and can't even see because I'm invisible to them and run right into me. Oh, I didn't see you. Don't know how they didn't see me because I'm too big to miss. But there are people that will not be able to see what you see. And they will go through this process. And when they decide that you're not worthy to be seen, when they decide that you're not valuable enough for their time, God says, you're valuable to me. Come and be on my time. Because, see, he is the ruler and maker of time and space. He sits above time, and he is the maker that sits in eternity. And when you go on God's time, you're headed into eternity. And eternity is the hidden place. Eternity is the place that your soul, the one that's been redeemed in your spirit, man cries out to be a part of. If I can just be in the presence of God. As prophetess said, the only cost to his presence is time in it. See, because there's a swap. We're coming time bound by our body. Time, as we are in the presence of God, will continue to move on. But when we step into the presence of God, he can cause time to shrink and expand. There are times that I have known, and many of you have too, that the presence of God has been so strong that the presence of God will come upon you. You'll be out in the spirit, and you think you've been out for hours, and it's only been moments. There's other times that you don't even recognize that hours have gone by. And now it's 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday morning, and your belly has not growled one time because you've been in eternity. Eternity supersedes that which is our carnality. And here we find that the Lord goes on to say, and that there's another level of love. How many knows for the Father loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son? But here he says, those who keep my words, I and the Father will come and make a home with them. A residency. Somebody say a residency. A residency is where somebody can find, if they're going to write a letter, they're going to put down the address of the residency. If you don't have a residency, it doesn't qualify as an address. There are some things that will not be sent to your P.O. box because you don't live in a little bitty box. They can only be sent to your living residence, the place where you reside and abode. And so the Lord said, I'm going to, for those that are in love with me, how many are in love with the Lord? Those that are in love with me and those who keep the words I say in obedience and are humbled to him, what's going to happen is, he said, that I and my Father, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and my Father will come and make our abode there, residency. That means when something happens in the earth, the Lord wants to use your address. When something happens in heaven, he uses his address. But he said there's a place now where the addresses start to come so close that they kiss. That is where heaven and earth kiss. And where they kiss in intimacy, where they kiss in worship, where they kiss in communion together, is the place now that anything that's addressed to you is addressed to God. And what's addressed to God is addressed to you. I love the residency of the Holy Spirit because I have access to everything in heaven and everything that's going on and what he wants done in the earth. Hallelujah. And so by taking time and trading it and putting it into the secret place, eternity now steps into time and changes situations. Ooh, hallelujah. So, somebody say the addresses are getting blurred. So when the Lord wants to do something in the earth, he'll use your address. When he wants to do something in the heaven, he'll use his address. But when you're in the secret place, there's no difference in the address. Let's look at a scripture about the secret place, Psalms 91. I'm going to read the first two verses and come back to something in just a moment. Because I want to encourage you that even though the pandemic is residing, we need to hear from God. I've been repenting this week because the Lord whispered to me on September the 2nd. He whispered to me, there's a major hurricane coming. And I said, Lord, you said in your word, there always be earthquakes in diverse places. There's always hurricanes coming. There's always a hurricane coming. I looked on the news. See, because sometimes we use our mind and we tell God, because he was really generic about the details at first, I forgot my own preaching. My own preaching is when he speaks to you, it's a clue that if you'll run after him, he'll give you more of the details. So the first thing I do is I look on the Weather Channel. And I find that sure enough, Earl is out there. And Earl fizzles out and dies. And then Fiona comes along. And Fiona comes up the coast and has a few winds and stuff. And then goes on up and begins to fizzle out and die. And I wrote the word backwards in my mind. Because if I would have proclaimed it too early, I wouldn't have known any details. Two, I didn't think that what the Lord said was enough with everything on my plate to run after. Let me just tell you the truth. That if I'd have proclaimed it, who who would it have saved? We live in Missouri. We don't get hurricanes in Missouri. I got churches in Africa. They don't get hurricanes in Africa. But it's coming. It's coming. And so Ian comes out of a most obscure place. It goes close to the earthquake, to the equator, and comes up out of the Atlantic as a small little storm. And then as it comes along, Fiona's outbreak and stuff that is exhausting out is causing Ian not to be able to formulate strong. But then something happens to Ian that makes it form into a major earthquake, I mean a major hurricane, a major one in 12 hours' time. It's called an eye replacement. This is the term that they used as I was researching this, because I had to research what happened and the timetable of how I did not pursue God in the secret place and to get his whisper. And so out of this, says it, once it completed an eye replacement, it immediately went from 2 to 4 and changed its path. The eye is the focus of, if we understand, our eyes is the focus of how we see, and it's also how we target. And an eye replacement means that the center of the storm all of a sudden became 2 eyes, and then the old one was replaced out, and a new targeting system was put in. That there was a transfer that happened. This is one of the very few hurricanes that has ever made 4 landfalls and still been a hurricane. This storm had the capacity of 150 mile an hour winds and became the 4th most biggest and strongest storm in America's history. So when God said a major storm, a major hurricane, he meant it. And when he said come, he meant to America. He meant to the land and the region. So I had to get on my face before God and repent, because I failed at listening close enough to his voice. All because he didn't give me enough details the first round. How many of us have been guilty of dismissing his whispers? Right, because he didn't give us all the details. Dismiss the prophecy because we didn't understand the details. Dismiss the word of knowledge because we didn't understand the details. When all along he wants us to pursue him in the secret place and talk with him about it and let him give you the secret, the inside scoop. The instructions would have come with the inside scoop. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. The Lord said that what you take into secret, there's going to be secrets that he reveals. But just because other people do not, the only way that the Lord is going to do something, and if you are too shy to be rewarded openly, then just don't go to the secret place. Because the Lord knows how to honor his people in open. That means enemies will be brought to your side. The enemies will be brought there to talk about how you're not much and you're not anything. Enemies will be brought to say that the church is over and irrelevant and not able to speak into society. Enemies will come, and the Lord will gather the giants on purpose, and the Lord will gather those on purpose, because if he's got people in the secret place, he will draw the enemies in a setup. If he got somebody in the secret place of the Most High God, he will draw in. Just because you see the enemy and the army coming doesn't mean that there's a defeat. Sometimes it means that if you'll fight the battle in the secret place, God will fight your battle in the open. And we need a lot more of God's people in the secret place. First individually and then corporately, because we need to call upon the Lord. If you get in the secret place and you stay long enough, Psalms 91 starts to come into play. I'm going to say this again, that if you love him enough to get intimate with him so that he can get intimate with you, that he can begin to reveal to you, because you've gone in long enough now that your ears are open to hear in the Spirit. That's why he says, let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. They're only opened when you get in the Spirit. Let him have eyes to see. When your eyes come open, you begin to see visions. You begin to see what the Lord is playing in advance, the prophecies in advance. And he wants God's people to have that. He said, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. Throw this back into the King James. I'm King James preaching today. Hallelujah. New Living got me a little bit off because they messed up the Lord's Prayer. I was reading there, and it doesn't say, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. They've written it out of the New Living. I said, nope, I'm going King James today. I'll come back to New Living when they're back on track. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth has the capacity of stay. That means you stay there. You dwell in it. Even though you're doing some things, you say, I can't wait to get back to God. My mind is stayed upon him. Dwell in the secret place, that we have a dwelling. We can go into an inhabitation in the secret place of the Most High God. Then we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at verse 2. Said, I say unto you, say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress. Fortress means it has cannons. It can go, it can fight back. Refuge means it's my hiding place. Fortress means you can't stop me. He is my fortress, my unstoppable God. I know him because I am in secret with him, and in him will I trust. It doesn't matter that people think you're strange. If you get in the secret place, you will be strange to them because they are too much in this other realm and don't even know that they're just surface. It is strange to those who ski, those who scuba dive, because those who scuba dive can find the gold sunken treasures, but those that ski can only wish to hope to stay on long enough and not fall off. You will look strange, the equipment that you wear. You will look strange, the terms that you use. You can tell somebody, if you're in the nursing community, you can tell somebody that's a wish-be wannabe, because they come in and they think they know some terms and don't know nothing. You go into real estate, you can tell somebody who's putting on the dog, because pretty soon their speech will find them out. And that is the same with us, because what we have gone in here and picked up from the Lord will no longer be something that some people think is normal conversation, because we'll come back having heard from the Lord, and our speech says, thus saith the Lord, I bind you and I cast you out and I release the good thing. And that is strange to people. Do you know what's strange in Springfield? Rooting, hooping, and hollering at a football game is strange. Because we've bought into that you cannot hoop and holler without being rude. And so they give this thing over the intercom that we're to maintain our civility, and people think that means to be quiet. But you can't stop me at a football game. I was semi-reserved for the first one. But for the second one, I was testifying at halftime to other parents about David Bitok's miracle. That's what they get for not having a marching band and a bunch of cheerleaders out there to take everybody else's focus off. Hallelujah. But when you step in, anybody that has confidence in what they know, that they know. And you see, some people just don't know where you came from. They just don't know what you're carrying. And you're going to be different than everyone that has been biting on the bullets and the Kool-Aid of society. You're going to be counterculture because you've been in eternity. And see, when your earth and heaven kiss and collide, they don't understand that kind of love and intimacy. But when you are able to reach out and touch somebody and say, I'm not like everybody else. Because my Jesus was not like everybody else. See, if you want to have brain surgery, don't go get the drunk from the alley. If you want to know how to stay out of trouble, don't go talk to the one who's been in jail 42 times. Because they're constantly getting in trouble. If you want success in your life, you have to dig past what you think of your own, with your own eye filters, and say, I've got to find out what's different about that person. This is why some would come and say, who are you? What is going on? See, there was a thing in our life. See, I grew up around miracles taking place. I saw my grandmother wheeled out with an ambulance on my way back from school, and they were wheeling her out dead, trying to help because her pacemaker, the toaster had shorted, caused her pacemaker to go out, and she had died, and they were working with her. They put her in the ambulance and took off that direction. My mother had called my dad. My mother was headed to the hospital behind the ambulance, not too far, and had called my dad at school where he was teaching, because he was a bivocational pastor, and he was teaching English and history, social studies, they called it back then, and got the call that his mom had was being rushed to the hospital. He decides that it must be the one that's closest, so he heads from the middle school, and he bolts, and he's going, and he's blazing in prayer. He's rebuking death, and death, you will not have my mom. You will not. You will release her in the name of Jesus. And he is pleading the blood of Jesus and goes through the green light as it changes. Here comes the ambulance just moments before, sirens squealing, and comes and bursts through that prayer which was unseen, that was in the secret place. That path of the blood of Jesus, that path of rebuking death, that path of prayer with God. When the ambulance went through, they had just on this side called the hospital and said, DOA, she's dead on arrival. We've tried everything. Boom, got through here. She sits up. Can you imagine? If that happened in Springfield, our medical workers, dead on arrival, and she sits up and goes and points the other way from the intersection. That's my son. She later recorded to me as we conversed that she had saw her body, actually her body down below in the ambulance, looked over and saw my dad's car go through. And as she was leaving out, when the ambulance hit, her whole spirit went right back in her body. And that's how she could say where he was, because she saw him from up above. So when my dad got the right call, he turns and goes back towards the hospital, because we had two hospitals in Rockford, goes back to the other hospital, and as he works in, the medics were still there filling out their reports, and he said, I'm Pastor Don McClintock, and you've got my mom in here, and her name is Hazel Beatrice McClintock, and see, it's the second time she's been raised from the dead, but this time in traffic. And so the medic said, excuse me, you said your name? Yeah, I'm Pastor Don McClintock, looking for my mom. And said, we're the ones who brought her in. Yes, thank you, and I want to see her. He said, we just got one question for you. Who are you really? And they told him that we had said dead on arrival. And when she crossed a certain intersection, she sat up and said, that's my son, and pointed down in the intersection. And he was able to put together that before even speaking to her, and was speaking to her. I'm here to tell you that if you've been in the secret place with the Most High God, he can give you answers that defy anything that mind can have. How is it that someone can come to Christ and be instantly delivered and marvelously set free and not touch another drop of alcohol? How is it that someone can come to Christ, get filled with the Spirit, be instantly delivered and totally off of cocaine and not have any type of side effects or withdrawal? How is it that you can come to Christ and everything change? Because you've entered into, through the blood, the secret place that rinses away sins, that causes you to be made new and births you into the family of God and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are his by the blood because you said yes to Jesus. Shout, I said yes. I said yes. I've seen too many good things not to run after God. See, when we do not run to the secret place and we get busy living life, we forget what God did at Fire and Glory. Or we forget what God did just a couple weeks ago at Fully Endowed. If we tend to go back to our old normal, we don't attain the new normal. We don't make it our brand new because we rocked back into something more comfortable. And I told you before that comfortable is the enemy of conquer. When you do that, you are stating to the devil and stating to the atmosphere and stating to everything else, God, I don't really want the brand new. I've got enough, thank you. Pastor Parsley was praying, and the Lord got all over him, and he had to repent. Because years ago, he had said a certain statement, and the Holy Spirit said, when you said that statement, every devil in hell wrote you off as done, that you'd arrived. That there was not any more new souls to go after. There was no new growth to go after. That you had come to the place where you could say, look what the Lord has done, and I'm done. That's the way it came across in the spirit realm. And he had to ask God to forgive him and cause it to be erased out of being released. He had to rebuke and recant what he had said. I wonder if there's things that we have said and released in our life that have told other things around about us that we were done. I wonder if there's some words that we could repent over that have caused us to just live life while it's living us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak in our ear. He is so gracious that if we will repent, he will speak again because he's teaching, he's comforting, he's leading us. He recognizes that we're not the complete image of the Son of God yet, except in the Spirit before the Father. That we are still learning some things. But we need to make sure in our everyday life that heaven and earth kiss by our communion with Christ. Look just for a moment at Psalms 25 and verse 14. And I'm going to bring some scriptures around and why it's so important. And then we're going to open these altars and we need to access a place. Because you see, there is things that are happening that we become callous to. There's things that we ignore and our world gets too small. That while God is trying to broaden our horizon, he's trying to wake up the church and cause ministries to come together and interlink for the greatest revival that Springfield has ever known. And if we're not careful, our everyday life will cause us to dismiss it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, that those that continue to reverence him, he will show them his covenant. And he will show secrets. We know that if you go in before the Lord and you speak in tongues long enough, that you will begin to speak mysteries and mysteries will begin to be revealed. Look, and this is before the Spirit of God. Look at Psalms 27, 4 through 6 as we're leading up. This is the path of David. He says, oh, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek after. And notice he puts the word seek, that if there is no seek, there is no real intimacy. Because you've got to seek and to find and to open. Said, I one thing I desire of the Lord. Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He goes on to say, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me. If I seek him, if I'm forever at the house of the Lord, if I'm forever in the relationship with God, he will protect me in the time of trouble. He'll hide me in his pavilion, which is in secret. The enemy can't find it. Turn to somebody and say, there is a place the enemy cannot find you, and it's in the secret place of the Most High. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me on a rock. My feet ain't going nowhere. I will not slip. I will not fall. I will not do anything but stay strong in the power of the Lord. Psalms 31, 19 through 20 states this as I'm coming around the backstretch. Hallelujah. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought. You have worked it for them that trust in you before the sons of men. In the presence of other generations, in the presence of America, in the presence of Missouri, in the presence of men, those that do believe and those that don't believe, God has some goodness for his people. And you see, when God shows up with his goodness, there's something in eternity that is on the other side of it, because goodness and mercy follow me. But when you ask the Lord to show you his glory, he shows you goodness first. Goodness shows up to those who are seeking his glory, those that will give him glory, those that will be in his glory, those that allow his glory to come. We need glory to fall on our Springfield metropolitan area. We need the glory of God to come that bursts the church outside the four walls. Glory that causes people to rise up, pray for the sick and they shall recover. Glory that causes people to binge in the presence of God, bask in the anointing of his glory, until it's not about goosebumps, it's not about how we feel, because by Tuesday it's going to rub off and we're going to have a depressive maniac attack. No, God's raising up a remnant, rising up a remnant that are going to be strong and mighty and do exploits for their Lord and give God glory. Somebody is rising up to a place. My prayer is unstoppable. Going in the secret place is unstoppable. My witness is unstoppable. Watch me in the next 10 months lead some people to Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, watch my testimony lead some people to Jesus. These Wednesday night classes coming up, I'm going to get me 5 or 6 folks come study a book with me, and then they're going to get addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not because we just have the class, but because you put their name down on your hit list in the secret place. Because everyone you pray for in the secret place of the Most High, their name comes alive in the presence of eternity. And you're saying, Lord, their earth needs a kiss from heaven. Woo, hallelujah. He goes on to say, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. And thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Look at Mark 4, 22 to 23. Let's bring it back to the New Testament now. Because there is a place. He's calling us to the secret place. We go for a little while in praise and worship, and we do great. But he's calling us to the secret place at our house. He's calling us to the secret place of 10 o'clock corporate prayer. He's want to open it back up to some other prayer times. Hallelujah. Some places of it. We might have to do some Zoom prayers. Hallelujah. We might have to intertwine some of the work availabilities. But God's people are going to be found on their face, like those precious mothers of Israel, that every time as a teenager I come into the house of the Lord, they were already crying out and had been for 40 minutes at the altar of God for souls to be saved. That Monday night prayer meeting, they called out everybody's name that needed to be saved. They called on God to come and touch a city. See, we need not only a revival that wakens a city to Christ, but one that is so powerful that it'll last till Jesus comes. I'm tired of revivals that the pendulum swings because we get comfortable. I get comfortable. God had to tell me, he said, you tried to put it on cruise control, but there is no cruise control in the spirit. You got to keep the pedal to the metal. It's going to cost us more. And we're going to see the results of more. He said, for nothing is hid which shall not be manifest. And immediately we were taught, there's no sin that's hid that won't be exposed. That's only part of the truth. There are secrets that are hidden from people understanding them. Parables was the very principles hidden on purpose. There is things that God hides that are only to be manifested by those that go into the secret place. Neither was anything kept secret. It's not kept secret in the secret place. When does it manifest? When somebody goes into the secret place with God and he shares it with you, and you now operate in faith that it's going to happen, it's going to manifest. And he said, but it should come abroad. In other words, neither anything that is kept secret that's not going to be newsed abroad. In the final time in Revelation, he said that there are angels that will blow trumpets that will say that the good news of the gospel has been taken to all the world. And he said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Some will say that's only if you have wisdom and understanding, you get the right education, you got the right intellectual capability. No, no, no. He's talking about spiritual ears to hear. Not only just the ability to listen, which means to zip it up and listen, even in prayer time. I had to have a prophet come to me when I was in my early 20s. God had to send a prophet down to Christ for the Nations, where I was playing saxophone during one of their times and had been given that opening. And I played, all people came up to, oh, I loved your saxophone playing, loved it. Here's this little guy dressed in wool tweed, comes up and he looks at me and he said, God told me to give you a word. I said, well, that's shh. I said, said, God said, you talk too much. He's trying to tell you something, but you keep praying for hours and you don't ever listen. And I dropped my head for a second because I knew what he's telling me is true. I looked back up and he was gone. Here's how long I had my head down. And I went to say, you're right. I'm tall, y'all. I could pick my wife and other people out of the crowd, or they could pick me. I could look and see. He had a funny hat on. I could spot that hat. Gone. So whether the Lord sent a real prophet or sent an angel, he sent me a word. Learn how to listen. See, because in the secret place, as you long, what happens is your ears begin to open. And as your ears open up the sensitivity, he begins to whisper. And if you can hear and focus. Prophetess was in the car, and the Lord said something to her. She heard it way off in the distance. She focused on what the Lord said. Lord, what are you telling me? And the voice got stronger. Then she knew who it was for. And the Lord said, your husband, ma'am, has this type of diagnosis of cancer. Prophetess, how did you know that? We've told no one. The exact diagnosis. Not stomach trouble. Not colon problems. Not kidney failure. This is the exact word. I want us to think for a moment how that we do good to get into his presence. But he starts with a whisper. Prophet, was I in the earthquake? No, I did not sense you in the earthquake. Was I in the lightnings and the flashings? No, I didn't sense you. Where did you sense my presence? The prophet Elijah says, in the still, small voice, in your whisper. If through all the noises of life I can focus on his whisper. If I love his voice that much, that I can hear him whisper, then I can tune everything else out. See, he wants us to tune our ear to him that he might focus our eyes to see what hasn't even happened yet. We thought, you know, well, actually, I can't say I did. Mama said, I'm going down to this Oklahoma conference down here in Ofala. While we're in the anointing, I'm going to be looking for a wife for my son. She had Oklahoma right. She had Oklahoma right. Nobody in the place. God. She gets a phone call. Would you come preach for us in Oklahoma, south of Oklahoma City? She goes on task for the Lord. And a young lady comes up to her table. And prophetess said, I got to link up with that young lady. There's something right there. And Oklahoma was the clue. The city just wasn't right. I'd been in Missouri, went to Illinois, went to a conference back in Missouri to find a Missouri girl. Because when I was in Sykeston area, the Poplar Bluff area, I couldn't find her. I went to Alton in Illinois, couldn't find her. My pastor and his wife said, I want you to go represent us to the convention down here. I wasn't even going to go that year. And it was her first time coming and met. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's whispers. If you pay attention, he's setting you up for a blessing. He will reward you openly for hearing and obeying his voice. I can't figure this out. Get to the secret place. I can't find any answers. Even what my mentor told me is just not clicking. Get in the secret place. God will turn your brain on. Supernatural. Illuminate. Paul said that your eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. You'll have the aha light bulb moment. Oh, that's what God was talking about. How many need a few of those? There's some situations that you just need that moment. Then my wife's going to sing in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to come. But before I do, I want to read real fast the list of promises that the Lord gives besides rewarding you openly for being in the secret place. Verse 3 of 91. Surely, because you're in the secret place, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, with this one, go ahead and revert that to New Living. I think they got this one right. I want to put a little bit more because this is our life. And thank God for Brother Corey back there doing all these things. He's gonna get it. In New Living, it's still, yep. He'll get it. Here we go. For he will rescue you from every trap that you don't even know about from the secret place and protect you from COVID, Zeta, quadruple on steroids, from deadly diseases. Keep going. In the secret place, he will cover you with his feathers of covering. He will shelter you with his wings. Somebody say, I'm going to fly with him. Hallelujah. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. What are your armor and protection? His promises, because he's faithful. Shout unstoppable. from the secret place. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. If you've not been in the secret place, you better be on guard. But if you're in the secret place, you do not have to dread disease that stalks in the darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Because the Lord will tell you not to go to work at the tower during your 5 o'clock prayer. And the towers will fall from terrorists. The Lord told you not to go in today. And you wanted to be loyal, but you said, wait a minute, I'll be more obedient to God's voice than loyal to my job. From the secret place, though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you. From the secret place, just open your eyes and see that the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, it's not always my shelter. I make him my shelter. I put on the mind of Christ. I go into the presence of God. Then no evil will be able to conquer you, because you're an unstoppable conqueror from the secret place. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. From the secret place, you've got an army of angels that come all around about you. They'll lay hold on you with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. How many know sometimes the angels can grab the steering wheel and help you drive when a guy's trying to kill us with his vehicle? Happened to us. You will trample upon lions. Now, how wonderful are you to do a super jump and come down trampled on a lion? Or when you walk in, because you've been in the secret place, Daniel, they fall asleep. And cobras can't find how to attack you. You will crush fierce lions and serpents underneath your feet. From the secret place, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. And when you call on me, what does it say? I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. And I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Turn to somebody and say, my secret place with God causes eternity to have heaven and earth kiss. And I'm going to say this for all the folks that like to be young. When heaven kisses this earth, from the secret place, I live longer. Oh, you can't get rid of me. I'm going to be around a while. I got an assignment to do. And you tell every other thing that tries to work in your body, get out, because I'm in the secret place of the Most High God. I am renewed daily. My mind is renewed. My spiritual surge is renewed, because I've made up my mind that if eternity is going to cause heaven and earth to kiss, I need your presence, and I'll stay. And altars are open wherever you want to pray.
presence of the Lord. No one had to say a word. I couldn't even make a sound, but I'd give up everything for this treasure I've It's your presence, Lord. I want more. You're the only